Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 18 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and live from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Carmen Melopani, talking around where she's finding value this year, chatting with Keith McLachlan, whether there's a perfect investment strategy, Dominique Collett, she is from Alpha Code, fintech predictions for 2022, particularly in terms of the Africa space. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Old Mutual confident of legal win over Moya. I'd actually forgotten about the story. It continues on, 3 years down the line, still happening. Business Day, Ascendus names independent advisor to review its chaotic AGM. It says an internal recount of its December AGM showed errors, but they wouldn't change the outcome. Maybe true, but errors at an AGM is a huge issue. Morning markets, the US was closed yesterday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Asia is green, Sydney up 0.1%, Tokyo up 0.9%. Commodities green overnight, gold 1,820, Brent 87.45, that is the highest level in 7 years. Rhodium still 16,400, Rand 15.39. Top 40, that changed in a hurry. Looking for a red open around 220 points down. That's about a third of a percent. Tencent trading up, down 0.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Carmen Impuluani. Carmen, morning from portfolio manager Absa Asset Management. A quick comment on oil. I mentioned in the intro there, oil 7 year highs. Is that something which sort of you input into an investment analysis and make meaningful changes, or is it more a case of particularly from the business side companies will manage, or is it consumers, I imagine, taking some pressure, perchance?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, it's definitely something a little bit different, as you said, something that I haven't seen in quite a while. Having said that, if we look at last year, oil has been very volatile, depending on what OPEC is deciding, et cetera, amongst other things. So definitely concerning, but still early days in the year. So we'll have to see going forward what exactly the dynamics are going to be like. But as you mentioned, definitely something we consider in our valuations. And obviously the impact on the economy and the consumer as well.
Yeah, and the consumer, which in many cases is under pressure already. If we step to some looking forward, New Year coming through, our markets locally and globally had a really good 2021. Some sectors, stocks better than others. Are there certain sectors that you're looking at for the year ahead where you think there's better opportunity, perhaps somewhere you think you have some concerns?
Yeah, I think one of the key things to remember going into 2022 is obviously the changing economic environment. We're seeing central banks easing up on their monetary easing across the globe, and so we're seeing ourselves going into a rising interest rate environment. Now, I mentioned that and I bring it up because it has such a huge impact across the complete spectrum of the market. So as you've asked, one of the key things we saw last year was that the consumer came out to be quite more resilient than we had expected. Mm-hmm. Granted, across the band from high income to low income, there are different dynamics. But having said that, the consumer has really, really held up quite well. And having said that, going into 2022, I think that's going to have a significant impact. So specifically on sectors like the retail sector, for example, where we are getting indications that the December trade seems to have been stronger than I think the market is expecting. So that's one avenue to look at. Obviously not all retailers are built the same. So you have to strip it out and look at it from that perspective. But then also maybe lastly on the resources sector, going into the end of last year, there was a significant pullback and decline, but we're seeing a significant recovery going into the start of 2022. So my key things looking forward definitely is looking at those companies that are very resilient. when I say resilient, looking at dividend yields. So those that can produce a dividend yield that's very attractive to the market, and then also a free cash flow yield. They've had the opportunity to strengthen balance sheets over the last 18 months to 24 months. So those companies are definitely the ones to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I remember we chatted towards the end of last year around how some of these companies have actually managed to use the pandemic to come out stronger, particularly on the balance sheet side. We were talking Bidcorp at the time, but there's a bunch out there. We will leave that there. Carmen Pilwani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan, Investment Officer at Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. You were doing a presentation towards the end of last week on fundamentals, on investing and the like. And during the Q&A, you said something which really resonated with me in a sense that, you know, I think particularly newbies to the market, but I think some old hands as well, are really trying to find that sort of the perfect investment strategy. Your point was, is there isn't a perfect investment strategy. It's going to depend on individuals and kind of finding our own way, which makes it, in a sense, easier because we can do whatever we want, makes it harder because there isn't a blueprint that says, do this, make money.
Well, Simon, there isn't a perfect investment strategy, but there might be a perfect investment strategy for an investor. And the important context there is whatever makes sense to that person and matches their risk profile, their time horizon, they can execute on. You see, investment strategies also need to be practical. So I think the important thing is once you understand the basics in financial markets, and you've got your toolkit, you start to apply it in a way that makes sense to you. The only final step is to make sure that you're being paid for the risks you are taking. And there should be conscious risks. And what I mean by that is make sure whatever you're executing on and however you're approaching the market, that at the very worst, the returns are justifying the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always, I always say to the folks, and if your returns aren't working, if you're consistently underperforming, you can always just go buy an index track and resolve it on that. But I like your point around it's going to be individual for an investor. And I came into the market far too long ago to remember my early days. But I imagine I remember going down the Peter Lynch rabbit hole. I remember going down the Warren Buffett rabbit holes. And it was about finding bits and pieces that kind of fitted, I like your point, made sense to me, and what was important that was comfortable for me. In other words, I could still sleep well at night.
And that's a very important measure, the ability to sleep at night. It may sound arbitrary and anecdotal, but if what you're doing in the market keeps you awake at night, change it. Mm-hmm. Deep down inside, each individual investor knows that they're taking too much risk or too little risk or appropriate risk. And this might be going down another rabbit hole, but taking too little risk is also a risk. Remember, risk should in the long term match return. And therefore, if you're taking too little of it, you might be generating too little return in the long term. The point being is only you can answer that question. Yeah. And therefore, as an open-ended system with multiple approaches, this is one of the reasons it becomes so complex for beginners to gain a footing because it's so noisy. Everyone is doing different things with different tools in the same space, and it's very confusing.
And I like your point around there as well. There is a time issue, capacity. You know, your job is, you know, you're an investment officer. You spend your days reading balance sheets and talking to CEOs and the like, and that's your job. For most of my listeners, the investing is actually a side hustle in many senses. They don't simply have the hours in the day, and they've got to take cognizant of that as well when sort of putting together a strategy.
An investment strategy that is not practical is not a good investment strategy. It's got to be executable. You know, finance and investing is actually a deeply logical science. What also confuses it is your overlay on the fact that it does have a large element of risk in it, which to the outside looks like chance, but it's not. This is not gambling. This is taking conscious and educated risks. And being paid for those risks that you're taking. But in the absence of it being practically executable, it's not a good strategy. So don't just find the investment approach that suits you and your world and makes sense to you. Find the one that you can execute on as well.
Yeah, that is actually possible to do. And I take your point. There's loads of risk out there. There's loads of noise out there, which is also something which certainly when I was a newbie, I struggled with. A quick last question while I've got you on the line. Sabvest Capital came out with a trading update yesterday for the year ending December. I know it's a stock that you keep an eye on and you like. It was a really strong trading update. And their sort of removing of the end structure, looking at that chart, it's done incredibly well in the year or change since they've done that. Stocks doubled.
Absolutely. I mean, Sabvest, run by Chris Seabrook, has got a fantastic years. He's compounded that NAV at about 19 to 20% year on year for 15 years. You know, once or twice for a couple of years, when one could point to luck or environmental macro factors, 15 years is not a track record to be sniffed at. That's a superb track record. I mean, this NAV over this period, the trading update pointed to growing by at least 19%. So we're smack bang, growing as we should be growing, but it's also open. It's an uncapped trading update. So it could be, the NAV could be growing by a lot more. So it's really, really well managed and still sitting at an over 30% discount to the low end of that range in terms of the trading update, coupled with the fact that there is no external ManCo. And that's a very important point here, where you've got management that's got aligned interests with you as an investor. They're not siphoning money off into an external ManCo. They're really managing it with the same exposure and the same interest that you as a shareholder coming in. This is really, I would say, one of my favorite investment companies on the JSE.
Yeah, that net asset value is going to be up, as you say, 19% or more, which is R88.58. The stock store trading closed at R61 yesterday. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, investment officer at Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Joining now with Dominique Kolick, a senior investment executive at RMI and head of Alpha Code. Dominique, appreciate the early morning. A note that was sent out, I think, just yesterday. If we look at fintech and startups and unicorns and all those sort of exciting places where everyone tends to look towards the U.S. and the Nasdaq, the true story is, sure, there was a lot happening in the U.S. There's been a heck of a lot happening in the African continent and massive growth in the space.
Yes, we're very excited about African fintech. It seems like last year was a bit of a tipping point, and I think it was really driven by a few factors. I think firstly, globally, fintech has been a strong asset class, and there's been a lot of money that's flowed into venture capital funds, and they're actively looking to deploy, and I think that drove a lot of the growth. I think secondly, people have realized that there's a huge untapped population in Africa from an unbanked perspective. and technology really can bridge that divide. It can make financial services cheaper and more accessible, and I think people are waking up to this. And I think, thirdly, the African consumer is becoming more advanced, is moving up the income curve, and is starting to look at alternative services. So there's a massive opportunity on the continent, and there's just extraordinary talent that's working on this problem.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a story. I mean, it might be as old as 20 years old. And I remember when, as a continent, we leapfrogged fixed line, we went straight to mobile, and there was lots of talk around the potential there around a growing economy, around a young continent, and it really is coming to the fore. Some of the trends, if we're looking forward, I mean, yeah, we're certainly seeing, and from your note, I mean, we're seeing some niche banks, and I mean, you know, Time Bank and Bank Zero as local examples. We're seeing mobile operators and the MNOs coming. What are some of those big trends that you are keeping an eye on for the continent for the year ahead?
Sure. So I think the first one, the story is going to continue to be around payments and around digital mm-hmm. banking. That's the entry point into financial services. As the consumer becomes more advanced and gets caught into the financial services ecosystem, we'll certainly see the growth of lending. I think buy now, pay later is a very interesting trend that's taken off not just locally but also across the rest of the continent. It's a fantastic value proposition for both consumers and merchants. Wealth tech is another one that I think we'll start to see the emergence of, some more savings and robo-advisor type apps. And obviously, as the African consumer starts to accumulate more assets, we'll start to see the growth of insurance businesses. So I think like anywhere else in the world, it starts with payments and then it moves up the financial services ecosystem as the consumer becomes more advanced.
And is it, I mean, I think, you know, the senses are it's probably dominated by South Africa. I'm not sure that's necessarily a true statement. I mean, there's been some unicorns coming out of Nigeria and other markets.
It's actually interesting. I think the African fintech story at the moment is very much a pan-African one. I think Nigeria is actually putting South Africa to the post somewhat. If you look at the really big fundraisers that have been done, like Flutterwave, like Kuda, EasyPay, et cetera, those are all Nigerian companies with very much a pan-African mandate. The South African fintechs that have received mega rounds are businesses that have appeal and potential outside of South Africa. So I think South Africa is not necessarily going to hold onto its crown as the fintech hub for Africa. I think Nigeria might be taking us over there.
I take your point. A lot of the stuff locally perhaps is looking more across the borders, whereas Nigeria perhaps looking more broadly to that continent. We'll leave it there, Dominic Collett, Senior Investment Executive at RMI and Head of Alpha Code. Appreciate the time this morning. That's it for today. Our poll, chatting with Keith McClassen there about different investment strategies and how no one is a sort of perfect fit. I suppose the question is, have you got a clearly defined investment strategy? Are you comfortable and does it work for you? You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. Yesterday, we had been chatting with Sean Nethling from Morningstar Investment Management SA on the local versus offshore in 2022. He's certainly making a good case for local. We asked, where are you investing in 2022? A quarter of you say offshore, about a fifth of you say local. Most of you, more than half, are saying a bit of both. And I think, truthfully, that is the right answer. There's good assets all over the world. You can have your vote. You can have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Nabuchle, Eddie, Nicole. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.